Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
We are at the interview part of the show. And today we're talking with, he's quite an author here. He's got a lot of types of books he's written. Very interesting. So thank you for being on the line, Mark Edward Hall.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
Well, Mark, let's just get back to your background to start with. How long have you been writing, and what was it that made you start writing?
Well, I've always been sort of a writer. In school, I wrote poetry, and then I got into rock and roll bands in my younger years and wrote a lot of songs. And I didn't really, I was a voracious fiction reader, and I always sort of had this little spark that said, you really want to write this stuff because, you know, I just love reading. So really, I got into it a little later than most. I was in my 30s when I actually got my first story published. So, you know, just the love of reading made me want to write.
Well, that's what, you know, because when you said you were in a band and you were playing in music, songs are written quite differently than books.
Oh, it's a whole different thing. Yeah, for sure.
So what did you have to do to develop the book writing side?
I had to sort of go back to school not academically, but I had to learn the whole process, pretty much from ground up. I had to sit down and begin writing and then learn from my mistakes. And that's just pretty much how I did it, just on the job, just writing and throwing stuff away and getting rejection slips until finally somebody accepted one of my short stories, followed by more and a few anthologies, and then in 2002, my first novel.
So, wow. So what is the main thing that you like to write in? Like, what area of writing is your favorite, or you really get excited about?
Supernatural thrillers. That's what I like. That's what I write.
Oh, so kind of a paranormal sort of angle to it. So have you had a lot of paranormal experiences in your life and you're drawing from that, or that is just what kind of got you into it?
Well, I've had a few experiences. Nothing, you know, nothing that I'd really want to get into because it's not that big a deal. But my grandmother was quite a storyteller. She was a psychic, a fortune teller. And she used to do some pretty strange things. And I happen to be her favorite grandchild. So she's gone now. But anyway, she used to sit hours at a time and tell me stories. And she swore they were all true. I doubt that. But anyway, that was pretty much the catalyst that got me going. And they were all ghost stories, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, and so when you say you're doing haunting, so do you create the whole story out of your mind then when you're doing this paranormal story? Is it just something you come up with?
Yeah. Yeah. These days I mix, like The Lost Village was my first novel. It's a monster. It's a big book. And these days I'm writing more with a paranormal influence in my writing. I like police procedurals and detective stories. That's Apocalypse Island, Soul Thief, Song of Ariel. That's a three-book series that I finished a few years ago. Actually, it's not finished. There are more books to come, but those three are. And those aren't, yes, they're not horror stories, they're not ghost stories, but all of them have a paranormal bent to them.
Well, okay, so now, if they're none of that, so what's the story in itself? Would you say that they're crime stories, or are they just mysteries?
Some are and some aren't. Yes, some are crime, some are mysteries. They vary. My latest novel, The Children in the Lake, deals with the Native Americans, their plight, a mystery at a lake. Children disappeared in 1925, and to this day people still swear they see the children swimming in the lake. And that's pretty much the premise of the book. I won't get into depth on it because I want people to read the book.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no.
But yes, it's a mystery. This one is a mystery.
So you have a mystery of the children that go missing, and there's apparitions or ghosts that are seen
right
from ever since then, and all that.
Right.
So when you are creating that kind of a book and that kind of a story, it's a mystery with paranormal, supernatural twinge to it. How do you collect your information on that? Like what? Where do you draw from, is what I'm saying, to create these characters that you have, to make the people recognizable?
I do a lot of research when it comes. I use a lot of truth in my fiction. I use a lot of real events. The characters, they just kind of go along for the ride. I don't know. It's kind of a mystery, even to me, how these characters actually happen on the pages and the, you know, the direction they take. I don't know. It's hard for me to actually say how this all happens. It happens over a period of time and several rewrites. And it just happens in my head. I put it down and go from there. That's a big mystery.
Yeah.
Where these characters come from.
Yeah. Some writers, they say that they've, you know, they'll see someone in a store or in a coffee shop or walking down the road, and the way they're dressed and talking and acting sparks an idea of a character. And others draw from people they know, and others get it in a dream. I always just like to ask where some of the characters come from. If it's
all of the above.
All of it. So it just all over.
It comes from life experience, sure.
How do you feel about your characters? Like do you consider them like your children, or do you do?
Yeah, I do. I love all my characters, even the bad ones, because they're part of me, I guess.
Right, right. So you put a little bit of yourself in each one of these characters.
Probably, I think most writers do that, although probably some don't admit it.
Hi, it's Julie. I just want to, if you don't mind me coming in a bit, if that's okay, Al. I'm just thinking, you know, you've got a series of books and you've just said that you'd quite like to continue that series.
Yes.
So when you begin to write a series like that, do you have an idea of where this is going to end, or is the story evolving and you kind of reach the end of one book and suddenly think, actually, I'm not quite ready to give them up yet and there's more adventures for them? How do you map a series?
I never know how a book is going to end, nor do I know how a series will end. I like to think that, you know, that the characters and the story kind of writes me. I go along and follow it. You know, I let the character speak. It's quite a process because this is what I do for a living. So I just go with it. I let them leave me alone.
And when you're writing, do you need to be able to do that? Because that's a lot of creativity there, isn't there? Because you're also needing to be bounded to make sure that the storyline is one that follows, and you know, characters can't just kind of go off on tangents. So how do you map your day? How do you write? Do you go somewhere quiet? Do you spend you know, a certain amount of hours doing it?
Yes. I do have an office, and I have a home in Florida and one in Maine. We winter in Florida, of course, and summer in Maine. But I have an office in both places, and it's for the most part private, and I'm left alone to do my writing. So it's, you know, it's really easy to get into my own head and work. I don't get bothered by people, so yeah, if that was your question,
So would you say that you're living through your characters, aren't you? So is there a particular character that you wish you had more in common with, or you feel that you have got more in common with?
Well, I'm not sure. Could you rephrase that question for me?
So when you're writing, you know, you're coming up with all these characters and they grow and they develop through the story. Is there a character that you could say there's a lot of me in that character? Or is there a character that you wish there was?
Well, maybe both at some point. Some characters, yeah, I suppose I do. You know, I do model after myself, and some are just total made-up characters that have nothing to do with me or my feelings or thought processes. Because I like to write unique characters, and I'm probably not the most unique person in the world. So, but anyway, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Do you? I suppose. In terms of your research, you mentioned you do a lot of research for your books.
I do, yes.
How long would it take on average to write one of your books? Let's just say, for example, in your series, how long might that take?
About a year for each novel, approximately.
And how much of that would you research in advance, or would that be through the year?
Research would be about 20%
of the novel. And what would that research look like? Would it be more reading, or be visiting people, or?
Well, I like to say that there's a lot of truth in fiction, and so when I'm writing about a particular subject, as in Apocalypse Island, I wrote about MK Ultra, which was a U.S. CIA. Program back in the Cold War, where they actually used human beings, children, as test subjects, fed them radiation. I didn't believe it at first. I did not believe that was true, but a lot of research told me that it was, and I used that. And so I had to be, with what I used, the part of it that I used, I had to be accurate. The truth of that had to fit into the fiction in a real, in a very accurate format. So, anyway.
A lot of people who are listening to this will be wondering about how to get into writing and becoming a successful author like yourself. So you've mentioned that you got into it quite late in your 30s.
Yeah.
What were you doing before, and what gave you the confidence to take the leap to commit?
I've done quite a few things. I've worked in the aerospace industry. I've owned and operated a recording studio. I'm a music guy. I actually still play music. I still have a band where I play frequently, or in summer I do. In winter I don't. But I've done lots of things. You know, people who don't know what they want to do in life usually get around and do all sorts of things before they finally realize what they want to be when they grow up. And I'm one of those people. Direction was hard for me. I knew I wanted to be a musician, and I'm not a bad musician, but I'm not a rock star. That's for sure. Anyway.
You mentioned writing a song on the Amazon page, and that you're thinking of recording that. Has that happened now, or are you still thinking about it?
What did it say?
About thinking about recording the song that you wrote?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that something that you're progressing, or is it something that you've done?
Well, something I'm progressing, yes.
Cool. So in terms of...
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I always ask this of authors, and some people find it really, really difficult to answer. But if one of your books was put onto the big screen, who would play the lead character? So choose your favorite book, and who would play that character for you?
Well, I have had people in mind to play characters of mine. I always thought Brian Dennehy would make a great Rick Jennings, who is the main character, one of the main characters in several of my novels. But of course, Brian Dennehy passed away a few years ago, so he'll never play that character. But that's who I had in mind to do that, that I would like to have do that character.
So now, what advice would you give to someone that's writing right now, someone that's not published, hasn't found a publisher, and they're writing, a crime fiction or some sort of book in a fictional area? What would be your advice to them?
I would say to do the best you can do, and don't give up. I mean, you know, a lot of times people give up out of frustration. But keep writing. If it doesn't look good to you, if it doesn't sound good to you, then rewrite it and rewrite it again and keep rewriting. Don't just, you know, put something out there and say, well, that's going to have to be good enough. You know, you just, my advice is to just keep at it, I guess.
Right. Now, so, and what is your opinion with going to a publisher or self-publishing for someone right now?
Actually, right now, I'm self-publishing. I went through two publishers, and neither of them, and I'm not going to mention who they are, but neither of them really did well for me. One of them, it took me 3 years to get my rights back. So I said, I'm gonna go the other route, and I'm gonna go independent, and all of my success in writing, most of it, has come from me going independent. So I say, you know, in today's world, in today's market, with iPhones and Kindles and all this stuff, I think if you've got a good product, if you can move people with your writing, I think you have as good a chance making it as an independent as you do with a publisher.
Right. Right. Quite a bit more freedom too. How do you find that marketing works for you? Are you just doing it through social media?
No, it's impossible to do enough marketing with social media.
Right.
You have to do your own. You have to do what the major publishers do. You have to spend money to make money. You've got to put your money out there where your mouth is. If you think your product's good, you got to buy ads. You got to do the whole thing. You got to spend money for advertisements and.
Yeah. Do you think reviews, how are reviews, are they very important?
Yeah, I believe so. Sure. They are important. I think a lot of customer reviews you can take with a grain of salt. You know, people will give their opinion. They either like it or they don't like it. And people are not shy about voicing their opinions. So that's fine. But I think professional reviews, I think they're important, sure. Peer reviews.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty interesting. How much have you seen in the last 20 years? You said in the 90s was your first publishing. How has this industry changed? And do you think it's for the better or for the worst?
I think that's debatable. The publishing industry is panicked, especially the big New York publishers panicked when Amazon came out with the ebook. I mean, ebooks have been around for a long time, even before that, before Amazon did it. You could actually download a book on your computer and read it on your computer. It was the Kindle that made the difference. And when that happened, it exploded, and that's when I really started. It exploded on the market. And most of the New York publishers panicked, and they did everything to discourage readers from buying ebooks. But now, of course, they're all selling ebooks now, and they jumped on the bandwagon. I think things are evening out with in relation to publishers, legacy publishers versus independent authors. I think it's evening out. I think there's a lot of independents that are doing well. But, you know, I mean, a lot of great writers are still with their publishers, so you can't discount them.
Right, right. Wow. So I guess this just all depends on how it treats you and how the publisher is for you.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
If it's going good and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what are your biggest influences? Like, what do you read?
I read a wide variety of stuff, but I like thrillers. I like the kind of stuff I read. That I write. I'd say, as far as paranormal, of course, Stephen King is a big influence. Peter Straub, I could name dozens of great writers in the paranormal that influenced me, but there are lots of other, like people who write, John D. McDonald, who wrote the Travis McGee series, he's a big influence, and just many more. Adventure writers, Wilbur Smith, for instance, South African man, great writer. James Lee Burke, I love his writing. I have lots of influences.
Yeah.
Mainstream fiction as well as paranormal and supernatural. And I think I sort of blend all of these things together. By the way, I attended school with Stephen King way back in grammar school.
Oh.
He was a little older than me, but yeah, we went to the same school at the same time.
Wow. So where do you see yourself going now? Like, are you going to continue doing this kind of work, and anything new and wild going to happen, do you think?
I don't know. You're not talking politics.
No.
We won't go there.
No, it's a mess. No, I mean...
sure is.
Do you see yourself going into screenwriting, or maybe getting into the movies, or doing a TV show or something like that with all the writing experience you have?
No, I don't want to write screenplays. I never did. I like the novel format. But I've recently I've had some people shopping my stuff to places like Netflix, Hollywood. But over the last year, it's tough. The whole system is closed right now. No one's making anything. There are no series being made. There are no movies being made. The COVID-19 virus has stopped everything in its tracks. So, yes, I'd love to have my stuff made into series or movie, but I'm going to have to wait on that, I think.
Yeah, the way it's going. Do you find when something like that goes on in the world, some sort of big event like COVID or protests or wars or anything like that, does it affect your writing?
I think it affects personally my writing in a positive sense.
Oh,
because okay. Because it gives me more fuel for fiction. I think I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I think I can't go anywhere anyway because of what's going on in the world, so I might as well sit here and write. So for me, it's kind of a positive, which is, the virus itself is not positive at all. We're all scared to death. But yeah, I think it.
That gives you more. It opens your mind to new things.
Right.
With these things like COVID's never happened, and so it's something new in your life and the way people act and react, and that right. opens up a whole new channel. But I'm just wondering if something gets you scared, or if you get upset or in a negative point of view from the world, something's going on in your area and it makes you mad, or it causes a reaction within yourself. Do you find that will work its way into your writing? Maybe not directly, but maybe just the feeling?
Yes, you're right, it does. And I think all writers will tell you, most writers will tell you the same thing. Yeah, I think everything that happens out there in the world, in the media, is, and if you keep your eye on the media, which I do, has an effect, has an influence on what I write, yes.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that we all, as we feel things, and it really doesn't matter how you feel about the story as much as you feel about what's going on, just the reaction that right. we have from it. So it's kind of an all the way around thing. So
mm-hmm.
pretty interesting. Now, let's see. Do you have a website that people can, if they want to know more about you and your books and find out, where
well,
would they
you
go?
Excuse me. I've had several websites over the years, but I find that websites in general are on the downturn. I've got a blog, but I don't go there very often. I do most of my communication with social media, with Twitter, with Facebook, with Instagram, all kinds of things. But I think I think websites are a thing of the past for writers. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I understand totally. I run one because people still go to it. But sure. Yeah, but, you know.
I just haven't given my website the attention. And so, and I don't really even point people in that direction anymore. Most of my contacts, most of my, everything I do with my, with promotion is probably through ads that I run and through social media. I don't actually advertise my books on social media because it's really kind of fruitless, but I make a lot of friends and a lot of contacts that way. Hmm.
Okay. Well, so I guess the best way to look you up, of course, is through bookstores or Amazon or
right.
Go to Facebook or Twitter.
Exactly. Find me on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
I've got a fan page on Facebook and a regular friend page.
Great. Well, we'll get the fan page up for our listeners on our website so people can find you with one click.
Okay.
And we really appreciate you talking about writing today with us. And
thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Our guest.
Nice meeting. Nice meeting you both.
Our guest has been Mark Edward Hall. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.